independent radio with music from the psychedelic furs. It's called The Ghost in You. Good afternoon, everybody in Coleman. It's 4 o'clock, a little bit after. Started out kind of a cool day. Much enjoying this weather, but beginning to warm back up again. Beginning to feel not quite like fall. I read this meme on Facebook not long ago. It was said there's 15 or 16 seasons in Alabama. It's like fall, winter, tornado season 1, spring, tornado season 2, summer, fall, tornado season 3, spring, summer again, then back to fall. That's about the way it is. Anyway, it's 4:02 and much to talk about today, as I'm sure you can imagine, as it's time for our Tuesday and Thursday Sports Talk program, Sports Talk Live. This program is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank each and every week. We want to thank them for that. And if you're listening and you've got a business and you'd like to be part of Sports Talk Live, let us know. Our website, live95coleman.com. You can send us an email to studio@live95coleman.com. And your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel, the Auburn fan, although he's not going to admit to it today, and Ronnie Barnes, the Alabama fan.
Thanks, Jay. Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk Live. And, Ronnie, a day I guess you've been looking forward to since Saturday?
No.
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
Boy, a lot to talk about.
I noticed on Jason's Facebook page today, he begged people to join us for the show.
Yeah, we want to talk about it, get it out there in the air. Yeah. I'm going to tell you.
We call this counseling.
Ronnie, I couldn't be any more surprised as if somebody had told me Auburn had dismantled their football team. I mean, wow. What can you say?
I guess I watched every second of it. Going to JSU myself, I was drawn into it even more, you know. I was just hoping it would be, you know, competitive for a half.
Yeah.
And that's what we thought. You know, Jackson will play with them for a half. Mm-hmm. And they turned a half into three quarters, and then they turned three quarters into four quarters, and they turned four quarters into overtime.
And, Ronnie, I made this statement on Eddie Gwynn's Facebook page, and I think you'll agree with it. I hadn't said this to you, but the thing that really, I don't guess it bothers me, but the thing that's getting lost in this, instead of Jacksonville State probably not getting the praise that they should get, because everybody's talking about how bad Auburn is, instead of Jacksonville State's a pretty good football team. Now, I'm not saying they should be in the same
but that hurts.
Category as Auburn, but let's give that credit where credit's due.
Yeah, but that hurts you to have to say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt it should have been a 42-10 ball game or something like that. Yeah. But Jacksonville State, their division, are going to cause people some problems.
They certainly are. And, you know, they've got about they've got about 8 D1, you know, kids on their team as well. You know, they had some kids from Auburn, had some kids that had been in Alabama. However, that does not change the fact.
Yeah, Jay, keep that music playing, because let's go straight into the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it won't take long.
You want to start there?
Yeah, we didn't even know we were going to do this, but the good. Gosh, I really can't think of anything.
Kicker. I reminded you of that coming in. Yeah,
a W is better than an L,
right.
Baby.
Got to win. A good crowd at Auburn. A lot more people were there than I thought would be there for that game.
And they were there a lot longer than they anticipated being there, too.
The bad, you name it. Let's just say Jeremy Johnson.
Well, that's
the Auburn running game.
They got do they play that?
Rock Thomas.
He completed the passes. They were just to the wrong team.
Yeah.
The ugly Jeremy Johnson. I mean, how ugly can it get? And I don't know, as we talked about, Ronnie, if he just don't have it upstairs.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he
doesn't seem to be able to read. You know, you hear this by people. You know, by people who, you know, talk about this all the time. He doesn't seem to be able to read coverages, defensive coverages. He just has an idea. Here's where, you know, this kid's going to run a slant. And I'm going to throw that slant, and it doesn't matter. If there's nobody there, he'll catch it. And if somebody else is there, they're going to catch it.
Yeah, come hell or high water, he's going to throw it to the man.
Yeah.
And when he comes out of the huddle, he's got one player in his mind. That's where the ball's going.
And that's where it goes.
And as I told you before we went on the air, we looked back at the Arkansas game last year. He was 12 of 16 in the first half, looked like an All-American quarterback. But if you go back and look at the game film, you'll see those receivers were wide open. I mean, it was very simple patterns, nothing to it, and that's the reason he was 12 of 16.
It's just it really is just mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that coming. And to add insult to injury, Jason, Louisville gets beaten by Houston, so right. There sits your first opponent, who's 0-2, and you're sitting there at 2-0, and then your second opponent is a FCS, you know, a kind of a Division I AA club.
I don't want to alarm Auburn fans any more than they're already alarmed, but let's look back, draw a little comparison here to Gene Chizik and what went on in his days and Gus Malzahn.
I'll give you credit, you know, because you're calling it like it is, and there's not a bigger Auburn fan in Coleman County than Jason Spiegel.
2009, Gene Chizik took over the Auburn Tigers, went 8-5. The second year, 2010, Auburn went 14-0, won the national championship, had Cam Newton at quarterback. The next year, after winning the national championship, they went 8-5, 4-4 in the SEC.
The year after.
The year after. 2 years after winning the national championship, Auburn went 3-9, 0-8 in the SEC. Started the season, second, third game, something like that, 31-28, overtime win over Louisiana Monroe. Okay, Gus Malzahn, first year 2013, went 12-2, went to the national championship game, of course was defeated by Florida State. The next year, 2014, went 8-5, 4-4 in the SEC. Now, the year after the national championship with Gene Chizik, 8-5, 4-4 in the SEC.
Identical then.
Identical. So, we have an overtime win over Jacksonville State.
Moderate this just a little bit. What was the Alabama record before Nick Saban?
Oh, it was ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody remember Mike Price? I mean, it's... Okay, it's backing off a little bit here, but just to try to level it out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had a 31-28 win over Louisiana Monroe under Gene Chizik. They have a overtime win over Jacksonville State under Gus Malzahn.
And hang on right there, Jason. Let's hold that thought. 27-20, they beat Jacksonville in overtime. You know, anybody could say, well, what ifs and all those kind of things. You know, well, what if this had happened or that happened? So I'm just going to throw some of those out there. What if Jacksonville State had not missed that 39-yard field goal? What if, with about 2.5 minutes to go, they pick up a first down?
Right.
It ended up like 4th-and-2, something like that, because Auburn had not stopped Jacksonville all day long. And we can look at the stats.
And the biggest what if to me, why or what if they had decided to try to get in field goal range?
Yeah.
They had 39 seconds, the ball on the
35-yard
line.
That's right.
I think that's a huge mistake by Jacksonville State.
Well, why? And I see both sides of it. Number one is he didn't want his kids had played so well and they were in the ball game. He didn't want to do something that may cost them a game, you know, right at the end where they throw an interception or whatever and he takes it for overtime. But on the flip side, you're not supposed to be there anyway. You have nothing to lose to Auburn.
When you go into overtime, Auburn being at home.
Yeah, they have the advantage.
Yeah, the advantage, huge Auburn advantage in overtime.
Absolutely. And then also, even after Jacksonville punted, or when they had to punt, he has a 17-yard punt.
Right.
And that brings it, what if he kicks 140 yards, 35 yards?
But on the other hand, if you're going to play the what if game, what if Jeremy Johnson don't throw two interceptions?
Yeah.
Rob Thomas don't fumble the ball when Auburn's driving.
That's right.
Score.
Who could have scored there? I think there's more what ifs for Jacksonville than there are what ifs for Auburn. Auburn gave Jacksonville every opportunity to win the football game.
They should have won. They beat Auburn everywhere but the scoreboard.
That's right. Everywhere, you know, but the scoreboard. You're exactly right. Everywhere but the scoreboard.
And I hate to feel bad for somebody not beating Auburn, but I actually do feel a little bad for the kids playing at Jacksonville State, the coaching staff there. I mean, what a win that would have been.
Oh, you talk about boosting their program.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable boost of their program, which it is anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
they win.
They win, irregardless, just like you sent to me. Why play those? You know, why play the Jacksonville States? Why play the Troys? Those kind of people, because you have nothing. If you're one of the two major universities, you have nothing to gain by playing.
That's why, like I told you the other day, that we're not going to see Alabama play an in-state.
You're not
like that. Other than Auburn,
you can criticize them all you want to. They're not. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I mean, if you lose to inner-city Texas A&M, that's one thing. It's out of state.
Yeah.
But you lose to an in-state
team that everybody's familiar with.
Yeah.
That's right.
That hurts.
That's exactly right.
Gentlemen, I have to step in and ask, looking forward instead of looking backward, and I just got a little sickness in my stomach here. If you happen to be Coach Sweatervest this week, that's what we call him, what on earth do you tell your players?
You know, you shouldn't.
It's got to get better from here.
Yeah. I don't know that you'd really have to tell them anything. They know what's coming when they go to Baton Rouge and play LSU. If they don't play with a substantial more passion, us against the world, they're going to get humiliated and embarrassed is what they're going to get if they do not perform to a higher level.
This is what is so strange. But I feel like Auburn can actually go to LSU and win, or I feel like Auburn could go down there and get beat 40-0. I mean,
I tell you, from what I've seen from first two games, defensively they're still bad.
Not as bad.
All right, Jason. I'm going to prove it to you right here.
If
Jacksonville State,
if we have the same defensive coordinator, have Ellis Johnson, we're 0-2 right now.
You lost this game anyway. The defense didn't win this game for you. The defense had nothing to do with it.
We're 0-2 right now if we have Ellis Johnson.
Now,
I disagree with you there, Ronnie. The defense is what saved this game, I think.
Who made the stop? When the chips were on the table, who made the stop?
I tell you who made the stop
and run the fumble back against Louisville.
No, I'm talking about the last time Jacksonville State had the ball. Who stopped Jacksonville State was Jacksonville State.
Hey.
Because all they were doing was hand off to the back. They did nothing whatsoever, just hand it off and try to run the clock out. It's exactly what they did. If they had done anything out of the ordinary, anything like what they had done the whole game, Auburn would have never got the football back.
I'm more impressed with Auburn's defense than I am their offense. That's sad.
They're both negatives right now.
Oh, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, they're negative numbers.
Yeah.
Here's why. Jacksonville State, okay?
We let them do a lot of that.
Yeah, you wanted them to, didn't you? Jacksonville State.
Ronnie, did he say that with a straight face?
No. He had his fingers crossed. Jacksonville State's total yardage, 438 yards. On third downs, they were 8 out of 17. I believe that's over 50%. Fourth down, they were 1 of 2. They threw for 277 yards. Auburn, let's look at their stats. Offensively, total yards, 401 yards. So Jacksonville outgained them by 37 yards. Total. Passing, 236 yards.
Another thing to take into account, Ronnie, is we have had five interceptions.
I was just getting to that. Jeremy Johnson threw three interceptions against Jacksonville State. He threw two against Louisville. So he's
the other way around? 3-2.
Okay.
Yeah. How about this? Nick Marshall had, and you remember last year, I fussed about Nick Marshall, said he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean if he was sitting in a boat.
You'd love to have him back.
Oh, any time. But he was in his ninth game before he threw his fifth interception.
Yeah.
Ninth.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a passer.
But I still go back to the fact Jacksonville gained 438 yards on Auburn.
and I still say the defense is better than the offense right now. We do have somebody that can make a play on defense. You've got Carl Lawson. You've got Chucky, the little.
Were they playing last week?
Byron Lawson was out.
Okay, he was the one who was on crutches.
Yeah.
He has a hip
flexor
or something.
He'll be back this week, yeah.
Lawson played? Which one played?
Lawson was out.
Chucky played?
Chucky played.
Okay, I never heard his name called.
Byron Cowart.
Did he make any tackles?
I don't know.
He made one.
But he did put some pressure on the quarterback a couple of times.
Did he? I must have slept through that. Since the kid threw,
you're
two
all
minutes.
Negative, Ronnie. I'm telling
there's
you,
there's nothing else. There's no way not to be.
Oh, you're right, but I'm telling you, Auburn could win this game in Baton Rouge Saturday.
Do you really believe they could win?
Yeah, I do.
Really,
really. In fact, I've got money on Auburn plus seven and a half.
Okay.
Well, for entertainment purposes only.
I don't think
LSU's all that in the box of crackers either.
Well, they were the first half against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Now I thought they looked impressive first half. Look, if
Eddie's calling.
if Auburn could only score 27 points against Jacksonville in overtime, do you think there's a if everything stayed equal, if they played pretty close to the way they played against Jacksonville, and I don't think they will, there is no way they would even score 27. There's no way they'd score 14 points against LSU. They're not going to score much against LSU, period.
I don't care
how well they play.
All right, Sheila is on the line. Sheila, help me out, please.
Jason, you tell Ronnie to quit bashing my Auburn.
Oh, he is piling on.
Now, listen, they play terrible. I'll be the first to admit it, but I'm not giving up.
That's right. And Sheila,
well, you can't give up on her.
Tell Ronnie. Ronnie gives us zero chance of winning Saturday.
No, I'm telling you, I know y'all saying he's terrible now, but I think he's got the potential. It may top out the third game and be from here on out, you know?
And it may be.
Listen, you tell Ronnie, Alabama, after first half, Saban talked about how terrible they played against that little B team they were playing.
They didn't
Alabama
play well
didn't
either.
Look, what,
I
look,
agree
didn't
with
look
you, Sheila. They did not. They didn't play well at all either.
Now I watched the Auburn game from Arkansas. I even had all those people in Arkansas pulling for Auburn.
But now to balance all of that out, I've never seen Saban happy. But like maybe
no,
once.
No, he never is anyway.
But I mean, they really didn't. I listened to Alabama way home, and I mean, there was times that other team had a chance to score two or three times on them in the first quarter.
Yeah, I slept all through the third quarter. I didn't watch a whole lot of it. It was so boring.
Why? You can't sleep through your game.
I can that one. it was bad.
But I really, I'm just not gonna give. And you know what? Win or lose, I'm still gonna be an Auburn fan.
Well, sure.
And I'm just not going to give up on them.
Well, of course. And no Auburn.
When Andy calls in today, I am not listening.
Oh, I know. It'll be
burn
bad.
Burn it down and give him a few
it'll
minutes.
It'll be bad. I'm kind of.
You can be a graceful winner, too. Or it's like I tell him, you can be a graceful winner, or what you call a winning game if you didn't win.
Eddie made the mistake of friending me on Facebook, and that was the most play-by-play action I think
It was awful. You know what? I had to quit looking at Facebook because I was getting so mad at you.
Sheila, you should have done like I done. I didn't turn on Facebook even before the game, after the game. The only thing I put on Facebook, you know, congratulations to Jacksonville State that they beat Auburn everywhere but the scoreboard, turned the computer back off, and went on my merry way.
Yeah. So.
They did play well.
They did.
They played horrible. And listen, he talked about how good in that quarterback. Did you see him, Jason? He was dancing and bobbing his head when he was ahead of us. Did you see him?
I would swap quarterback.
I would too. Yeah. I would take Jacksonville's quarterback.
No. We're going to keep the quarterback. And I'm telling you, Eddie's been my friend for 40 years, and Wolf was in the hospital bed, so he was looking at Facebook, and I said, just don't tell me no more.
Yeah. Hey, one thing about it, after Saturday, it'll all even out. So.
Well, I just think we're just not
going to,
you know, just not giving up.
I think both teams may carry a loss Saturday, so.
I hope not. I mean, I don't want
Alabama
to lose. You know me. I
want Alabama to lose.
See, Sheila, that's the way he does me. I pull for Auburn.
You don't do it.
I do. I told you I do. I promise.
You're grinning like a possum chewing on a bra.
Now, last week I did because I went to Jacksonville. So, yes, I wanted Jacksonville State to win.
Listen, I always wanted to win Alabama, but I don't want to win a whole lot. But I do always pull for win. But y'all quit bashing my Auburn Tigers. You just don't never know. They may not lose again. Didn't we have one of our running backs out too? One of our really good running backs out too?
I claim it. Whether I
did. Yeah, I think we did, Sheila.
Yeah, all three of them.
There was two on the sidelines.
We had. I forgot his name. The junior college transfer. I think he was out, but he's really not a big player.
And let me tell you, if you would have listened to their lineup, Jacksonville State had three or four Auburn players that were at Auburn and transferred to Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
and had a couple of Alabama players. They had players that had went to big colleges and then transferred to Jacksonville State.
Right.
That's true.
The difference, Sheila, they have six or seven Division I players.
You got 80.
Yeah, we've got 85.
I know, but we don't give up. And I love y'all show, but I will not listen to Eddie. And I love Eddie.
when he comes on, just leave it off for a few minutes and turn us back on.
We may just accidentally go off the air when you're not on it.
He was terrible. It was like a play-by-play, and it was terrible.
Oh.
Well, you didn't expect anything any different, did you?
Well, you know, really, I did. I was hoping he would be. If that had been my little team, I think I'd have stayed quiet until I think that was going to win. Then I would have.
Sheila, let me ask you this, and before we have to go to a break, let me ask you this. How many times has Eddie been on Facebook and said that he's not going to talk about Alabama and Auburn? He's going to be graceful this year.
Yes,
and you know he's so full of it.
And I'm just a Jacksonville State, and he's just as big Alabama as he is Jacksonville State.
He is till Alabama starts losing, and then you'll see him say he's a Jacksonville State fan.
Yeah. I mean, I want his little team to do good, don't get me wrong.
His little team.
But he was awful, and I'm still not, and even if Auburn loses their next few games, I'm still just going to be just as big as Auburn fan.
If they never win another one, Sheila, I'm still for.
That's right. That's right, but Ronnie, you behave.
I'll try to quit piling on Jason Saban.
Yeah, listen, you can be mean to Jason off the air, but you gotta think of it.
Don't do it where everybody's gotta hear.
There you go.
I'll try to do it better.
Yeah, I'm good with
all
you.
All right, thanks, Sheila.
All right, bye.
All right, 423, the number 737-9505. You want to call and talk about Auburn, Alabama, or maybe some local high school action. We'll be back with the People's Bank Player of the Week. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey, Coleman. Live 95's first birthday bash back in April with our Battle of the Bands event was so successful, we've teamed up with the Cullman County Fair to do it again. Come join Live 95 and the Cullman Lions Club in the entertainment tent at the Cullman County Fair on Saturday, September 26th. As usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate. We don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Cullman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today and stay tuned for more information on the Live 95 Battle of the Bands rematch. Sponsored by the Cullman County Fair. Live in the entertainment tent on Saturday, September 26th. In the meantime, tune into Live 95 on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear each band's music set from our event in May. We'll do one set a week leading up to the event. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Cullman's independent radio.
If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Back with you, 427. The number again, 256-737-9505. And it brings us to the People's Bank Player of the Week. And Ronnie, we had several great performances this week, but one seemed to stand out maybe above the rest. And the Player of the Week this week, and this he's going to be decorated several times for this performance.
Oh, okay.
I think Kobe Smith, West Point High School, 262 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns in their 42-7 win over Ardmore. He scored on runs of 6 yards again, 61 yards, and a 74-yard run.
Wow.
So, Kobe Smith, congratulations. You are the People's Bank Player of the Week. Again, 262 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That's a pretty easy choice right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that made it easy. Runner-up, I'm going to give a runner-up this week just because I thought this performance was worthy of mentioning. Hanceville Bulldog, B.J. Smalls, 159 yards on 27 carries in a 26-20 win over Vinemont. So,
yeah,
not a bad night there.
I saw that was a pretty close ball game there. Yeah. Ended up 26-20.
Catch us up on the local scene.
Local things that's going on today, Jason. Of course, you know, as we always say, when you got football going on, you got volleyball going on. They go hand in hand. So today, as far as what volleyball is taking place, Cold Springs and Lawrence County, they're at Fairview, so that's going to be a tri-match, which means it's going to be a late night. Cullman is at Hartsell. Hanceville and Holly Pond are at Susan Moore. St. Bernard is at Appalachian. And West Point and Haleyville are at Russellville. So we've got several tri-matches there, which means you have plenty of time to go watch some volleyball with the tri-matches, because those things do take a while.
And as we said, volleyball, once you get into watching it,
it's
a pretty good sport to watch.
I like watching good volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, especially, of course, we're going from high school on to, you know, a level that's a little bit beyond high school, Olympic. I love watching Olympic volleyball.
Boy, you're talking about some smash.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the women or men, it doesn't make any difference, because they can drill it.
Yeah.
So, good volleyball is fun to watch.
And when they spike that ball, how they ever return it?
Oh, I know.
That thing up.
I don't know how they get it. How you get your face out of the way?
No.
You imagine that play if that plasters your face at about 120 miles an hour.
Mm.
You'll have one nostril under one eye, and the other nostril under the other.
No doubt
it'd be
about
ugly. So you got plenty of time, folks. If you want to see some local high school volleyball today, jump in the vehicle or head to one of those local schools we call that's hosting those tri matches, and you'll be able to see plenty of volleyball. That's for sure.
Before we get back into the Auburn-Alabama scene, Ronnie, some news worthy of mentioning. Texas Fires athletic director Steve Patterson, been on the job, I think, 22 months.
22 months. His time was short-lived as a Longhorn fan.
He made the wrong person mad, apparently.
Apparently so.
You don't get rid of somebody that quick in that position.
That's exactly right. But something is awry there.
As we said, what does that mean for Charlie Strong in your opinion?
That means I would be calling the local U-Haul it or the Hertz Rent-A-Fan.
Will he be the next West champ?
That's right.
A defensive coordinator somewhere.
Well, he was hired 22 months ago. So is he the AD that hired Charlie Strong?
Right.
Okay.
And from what I've read, he was the huge factor in Strong getting the job. He was a big supporter.
Not that Charlie Strong is not the right person for the job. We're not saying that. Neither one of us are saying that. That's yet to be seen. But if the athletic director who hired you has just been fired, you can be rest assured.
Yeah.
He is not feeling that he's on stable ground.
But Texas has to realize, because they're the biggest state, don't mean they're the baddest football team.
That's right. And they had periods of time when they were.
Right.
But you know what? A lot of your big-time programs have had years where they were, too.
Oh, yeah.
It goes in cycles.
You've got to give a coach more than 2 or 3 years to...
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if Charlie Strong, I don't think there's any way he's fired this year, but maybe after next year?
Maybe so.
And looking at their schedule, you and I both agree, maybe 6-6.
They got, at best this year.
Yeah, California this weekend.
Okay.
Followed by Oklahoma State, TCU, Oklahoma, Kansas State, Iowa State, Kansas, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Baylor. And back in the day, that would have been a clean sweep for Texas.
Go through those again, Jason.
All right, let's go one by one to see who we think. They got Cal this weekend, California, University of California. I think they lose that one.
You think Cal wins it?
Yeah.
I think I would agree with you.
There's a 7-point underdog. Oklahoma State next weekend. I'm not sure where these games are played, but I think Texas, that's a winnable game.
I'll go with you. Yeah.
All right. TCU the next weekend, I think TCU wins that, and
that's
could be ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah. Oklahoma, I think, is a loss for Texas.
I agree.
Kansas State, I think, will be a loss.
It
could go either way.
It could go either way.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it a loss.
Yeah, okay.
Iowa State, that should be a winnable
game.
Should
have been that.
Kansas should be a win.
Absolutely.
If they don't beat Kansas, they need to fire him this year.
Yeah, that's true.
West Virginia, another one that could go either way, but I'm going to give Texas the benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt on that one.
Texas Tech, I'm going to say Texas will win that one.
Texas will beat Texas Tech.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And then Baylor, I think Texas loses that one.
I do too. If they play out like that, you're saying that would put them at six wins.
And that's not going to get it
done.
That's
not going to get it done at Texas Longhorns. Not that it might. He might.
And what really stings is a 38-3 loss to Notre Dame to open the season.
Yes. That was ugly.
And then 42-28 win over Rice. I mean, Rice, that's nobody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. In the scope of national powers, it's not. So, things not on very firm, stable grounds for Charlie Strong.
And Patterson. I'm sure you've seen this. I may be wrong, but I think his contract was good through 2019.
I think that's right. That's what I saw.
Something just not.
Yeah, this is 2015. His contract was through 19, and he's already gone. Something is not looking good at Texas.
Hey, let me throw something at you, Ronnie, and just see what your opinion is.
Okay.
I figured you would get a kick out of this, so I've come up with this today.
Is it something to do with Auburn?
And Alabama.
Okay.
I've come up with Jason's top 10.
Jason's top 10.
You know, you got the AP.
Well, you can hang your hat on that one, can't
you? That's right. It means as much as the AP.
It means as much as the rest of them.
Alabama and the AP and the coaches' poll are second. Ohio State, of course, number one.
Sure.
Auburn dropped 12 spots in the AP poll to number 18 and dropped 8 spots in the coaches' poll to number 15.
Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
You think it's lenient?
Probably. But I think it may be the first time I've ever seen a team win a game and drop that many places.
Now, I agree with that.
Okay, Jason's top 10. Tell me, agree, disagree. I'm going to go number 10, Oklahoma. I'm moving them on up.
Were the prior?
They're about 15, I think, in the AP.
And they beat Tennessee, and you moved them to 10.
I moved them to 10 just because there's nobody else to put there.
Okay, well, if you say there's nobody else put there, I'll agree with you.
Number 9, I'm going to go with the Ole Miss Rebels. They've scored over 72 straight games, and I don't care if they're playing the Huntsville Nursing Home.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. Number 8, USC Trojans.
That's a club to look out for.
Number 7, UCLA Bruins.
That's another one. I agree.
Number six, Baylor. Number five, and this hurts me to do this, but I'm going to put the Georgia Bulldogs at number five.
You have to. Somewhere in that area.
Number four, and this is going to hurt, Ronnie, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got them in the top four.
Please. Number You're three, the only poll on the face of the earth that has them in four.
I'm the only one that's right. Number three.
You're the only one that's biased.
TCU. Number two, Michigan State. Number one, Ohio State. And the reason I've done that is I think
to TCU, be an irritant. That's why you did.
TCU and Michigan State has more impressive wins than Alabama does.
They do.
Now maybe Alabama move up. I don't think so because I think they go down this weekend. I started the season and predicted Alabama to beat Ole Miss.
Yeah. You're changing.
I think Alabama loses this one 26-23.
I'm speechless.
As bad after as Ole Miss, Jimmy Johnson is, I still wouldn't trade quarterbacks with Alabama.
Well, you're smoking reefer. and it's not a small one either. You got a cigar type rolled up. You got $50 in that.
The size of a lot.
You got that right. I don't know how you could. I know you're an Auburn fan. I know I'm an Alabama fan. But how you would stick with Jeremy Johnson after 2 weeks going to L.
Potential, baby. I think he's got potential, like as Sheila said. But
when does potential become reality?
I don't know if we see it or not. But
it depends on whether there is any or not.
It's there. Now, whether the elevator goes all the way to the top, I don't know. He sure don't look like the elevator goes
okay,
all the way.
Okay, so you're telling me this weekend going into LSU, you'd rather have Jimmy Johnson than Coker?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
And you're expecting me to say, with Alabama playing at Ole Miss, I had rather have Jeremy Johnson than Coker?
No, I don't expect you to say that.
I would be nuts if I said that.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
The reason
why. Right now, there is no comparison to Coker. I'm not saying he's a world beater by any means, but there's no comparison to what he's done and what Jeremy Johnson's done.
Let me explain the reason, though. If we get Coker at Auburn, we're in the same situation. We got a quarterback that can't run the ball and is a decent passer. Jeremy Johnson is a decent passer. I mean, he may throw it to the wrong team, but it's not the mechanics of throwing the ball. It's his reading the defenses. So you get
that
straightened
out. What's the mechanics got to do with anything?
You get that straightened out, he's going to deliver the ball.
Is Coker's mechanics not good?
I'd rather have Jeremy Johnson.
Will you say that if, okay. Let's
I'll say that if okay. Barack Obama's standing
what right. Is, okay, this weekend's up, and Auburn gets beat again, and he throws.
Wait a minute, gets beat again?
Gets beat, I'm sorry.
Okay.
If Auburn gets beat, and he throws one or two interceptions, and Alabama beats Ole Miss, and Coker might throw one, might not, but they win the ball game. The next week, are you still going to take Jeremy Johnson?
We'll see. But also, Ronnie, surrounding cast makes a lot of difference. Auburn has yet to get a running game, which is putting a lot more pressure.
And I
part
agree
of that's
with that.
Jeremy Johnson's fault.
Whose fault is that?
Because, I mean, the read option only has one read.
That's right. You don't have to read that. He's going to hand it off. That's exactly right.
The music's playing means it's time for a break. We'll be right back. A little more
just
of Auburn.
Just
Auburn. Sports Talk Live, another day. We'll be right back.
Here are a few things happening down at Wallace State that we think you should be aware of. The Wallace State Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org. If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wallace State's ACT Prep Workshops. The English and Reading Sections Workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th, from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science Workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th, from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wallace State Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit WSCCalumni.org. Congratulations to Wallace State. This year, Wallace State celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALA-PARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
All right, back with you. Ronnie and I are discussing things during the break, and Ronnie's come across a interesting piece and tells us a little bit about how bad Jeremy Johnson has been thus far in the season.
Yeah, now, Jason, I want to preface this. I'm not piling on Jeremy Johnson here.
Now, what would you call it then?
No, I'm just...
let me say, I agree with it 110%.
Yeah, I'm not piling on him.
This is just a fact.
This is just a fact, and it really plays into Auburn's whole offensive, you know, philosophy or what it's based on. And I think we would agree that Auburn's best years, when Gus has been there either as a coordinator or as a head coach, their best years offensively is when they've got a kid who can run the football and throw the football. That seems to be Gus's offense seems to be predicated on having that elite quarterback who can do both. Every school doesn't. That's not necessarily their philosophy.
Right. And you and his to me, and I may be wrong, but it seems like you need a quarterback to run the ball and have a fair arm rather than be a fair runner and have a real good arm.
I agree. And I think we would also agree that the quarterback that Gus Malzahn needs to run his type of offense is different from the quarterback that Nick Saban needs to run his offense. Not saying one's better than the other. They're just different.
Right.
Not wrong, just different. And here's something that, Jason, that was interesting to me, hopefully be interesting to the folks listening, is if we go back to 2010, when, and you'll help me here, 2010 is when Auburn had Cam.
Right.
Okay, Cam rushed for 1,473 yards for the season, which ended up, that was the number one rushing quarterback in the country in 2010. That's also the year that
Auburn won the national championship.
Okay. In 2013, and I skipped 2012 because he was at Arkansas State in 2012. Right. In 2013, Auburn's quarterback was Nick Marshall. He rushed for 1,068 yards, and he ranked sixth in the country as far as quarterbacks go.
Auburn went to the national championship that year.
Auburn went to the national championship. So in 2010-2013, when the quarterback ranked number one running the football and number six running the football, they either won a national championship or played for a national championship.
Right.
Okay, this past year, 2014, Nick Marshall was still there. Nick Marshall ran for 798 yards, which is down some, but his rank was fourth. So even though he rushed for, 300 yards less, his rank went up. That's really irrelevant, that part. It's just, within the team itself, it was down 300. And Auburn last year went 8-5. Okay. This year, the way it is projected after two games, and granted, I'll give you this and everybody else, it's only two games. There's still a lot of football out there. But if the trend continues, Jeremy Johnson is on pace to rush for 117 yards for the entire season.
107. Cam had that in one game.
Oh, easily. So at least me looking at it, you may look at it differently. That is a huge red flag for the style of play that Auburn has based their offense on the last few years.
There's no question about it.
Yeah. I think the answer for that is that they can just – that they're able to line up, hand the ball off, and be more effective running the football as opposed to, you know, in the past where they would, you know, put it in that tailback's belly and the quarterback would read, you know – read what that defensive end may be doing, and he'll either give it to the back or he keeps it and gets to the corner himself. They don't have that look. They don't have that ability.
Hand it every
That's
time.
Right. So the defense right now, they are just disregarding Jeremy Johnson as a runner. So I think Auburn may have to rethink or refocus on what they maybe do up front to combat taking one person, you know, out of the offense. Basically, they're playing 10 on 11 now. Because everybody's disregarding Jeremy Johnson's ability to run football. So, would you say that's fair?
And he's either going to have to get Johnson to run in the ball some way or another, or he's going to have to make a big change in his offense or replace Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, they've got Sean White, but he is a pro-style pocket passer.
Right.
One of the top kids in the nation when he came out, but he's not that style.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with a pro-style passer.
Right.
It's just that's not the system that everybody – that's not the quarterback that everybody wants to have. I guess if that's the type of quarterback you want to have, you better be really, really good up front, and you better be able to whip the defensive lineman.
And Auburn's not to that place.
They're not. You know, they've been predicated, I think, on having the defense trying to read what the quarterback's doing with the ball and then reacting to that. Now they just attack the back now.
Oh yeah.
They give Jeremy Johnson
thought. There's no need to worry about Jeremy Johnson
exactly
carrying the ball. And Auburn does have a dual threat quarterback. He was the number one junior college transfer. His name is escaping me. I'm looking for it as we speak. But he is not being used. And, you know, if Johnson's the best we got, it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently he's the best we got.
Yeah. And you know, he may play lights out this week, Jason. I'll give you that.
Boy, I hope so. If don't, it may be a long day.
I don't think this would be a shock to anybody. They're going to have to play better in every phase of the ball game to have a chance to beat LSU. And just like you, LSU is not a world beater. Not
right,
yet.
If it makes you feel any better, to be honest, on Facebook, Sunday night I think it was, or may have been last night, I don't remember, but I put my early prediction on Auburn getting beat 31-13, Alabama losing 26-23.
Is that what you put?
Yep. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Man, I respect you for that, even though you're wrong on one of them. But
I could be wrong on the Auburn game. I don't know.
So.
I remind everybody, Kobe Smith, our People's Bank Player of the Week, racked up 262 yards, four touchdowns. We could use him at Auburn.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What if he played quarterback?
What about Rock Thomas? You think he sees the playing field again after laying the ball on the ground? And remember, he's the same dude that the first play of the Alabama game last year, the little out pass, and it ends up being a fumble. He stands there and looks at it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think his playing time is going to become much more limited. His leash is going to get a lot shorter because you just cannot consistently put the ball on the turf and expect to be able to continue to play.
I tell you a bright spot though, I think, in Auburn's future is Carrion.
Oh, the Johnson kid from Madison Academy.
I think he's going to be the real deal.
I agree. I think he's going to be an excellent player for them.
it tells you something when you're needing a score to tie the ball game up and you're handing the ball to a freshman. So
yeah. What does that say?
Yeah, that either says you haven't got much to lean on or he's dang good.
Yeah, I mean, and people can decide for themselves, you know, what they think.
Enough about Auburn for right now. What about Alabama?
Well, let me say this. I slept through the third quarter of the Alabama game. Well, it was none impressive whatsoever. You know, it was just
Alabama took care of business, but
they did.
Had a lot of room for improvement. Middle Tennessee missed some opportunities to put points on the board.
Coker, he was no world beater whatsoever in that game. You know, I think he was 15 out of 26, threw for 214 yards, one touchdown, one interception. And then Cooper Bateman, he was 11 out of 17, 98 yards. He also threw an interception. So they threw two interceptions, which is, you know, against Middle Tennessee, and not taking anything away from them. They're a pretty good, you know, pretty good club. I think the prior week they scored 70, you know, their first game. Derrick Henry, you know, he ran the ball for, you know, 96 yards, averaged a little over 5 yards carry. Damian Harris, the freshman from Kentucky, he had 55 yards on 8 carries, which is, you know, 6.9, almost 7 yards a carry. But, you know, it was just I don't know that anybody was overwhelmed by the win. It was one of those where you were expected to win. You should have won. You won 37-10. Did you win by enough? You know, I don't know. Probably in many ways, Nick Saban felt after his game the same way Gus felt after his game, even though, you know, the games were much closer. I don't know that – or Auburn was much closer. I don't know that the Alabama game was ever – you know, it was never really in doubt who was going to win the football game. But certainly Saban, you know, was not pleased. Middle Tennessee, their total yards for the game, 275 total yards. They had 189 yards passing, 86 yards rushing. You know, that's more than Wisconsin had.
How many do you think Ole Miss will put up passing?
You know, Jason, let me say this, and I know this, you kind of foo-foo at this idea.
Kind of what?
Foo-foo.
Foo-foo, now what does that mean?
You blow it off.
Foo-foo.
Foo-foo, you never heard that? You never heard
it
that?
It sounds like you would be walking a poodle when you say that.
So, I've heard that before. I thought I'd throw a new one out there on you. You didn't hear that one where I was raised, I'll tell you that.
You might have heard that one in New York City.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That idea.
That's right. But they gave up 189 yards passing. However, and I come back to yards per reception, 4.4 yards per reception. And I know you said, well,
that gets it done.
That gets it done. I could certainly live with giving up 4 yards a carry, considering what they probably averaged last year giving up per throw.
You could live with giving up 4 yards
on
three
a pass.
Downs. That's first down.
Yeah, they're not. Nobody's going to beat Alabama if they can only throw for 4 yards each play. Whenever they throw, they're not going to win that.
If you throw it every down, you'll always get a first down.
theoretically, if you completed enough of them, percentage wise, but you're not going to complete enough.
Hey, while we're talking about Alabama, we're going to a break, Ronnie. When we come back, we're going to hear about a 20-minute audio clip about your man.
When we come back?
Yeah.
We haven't even got to talk about Alabama's kicker yet.
Nick Saban. Alabama's got a kicker?
That's what I'm saying.
I have to admit, that's news to me. I have not heard that yet.
We'll be right back.
Do you believe?
Sports Talk.
I know you want to go to a commercial. I'm hammering Alabama. They are 0 for 5, I think, or 4 on field goal attempts. They have not tried one longer than that range of 40 to 49 yards. They are 0 for. They have not kicked a field goal yet this year.
Hey, Ronnie.
Wow. Yeah.
Auburn's got a kicker.
Yes, they do.
That's a hot spot. No, we won't trade that one. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Hey, Coleman.
Live 95's first birthday bash back in April with our Battle of the Bands event was so successful, we've teamed up with the Cullman County Fair to do it again. Come join Live 95 and the Cullman Lions Club in the entertainment tent at the Cullman County Fair on Saturday, September 26th. As usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate. We don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Cullman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today and stay tuned for more information on the Live 95 Battle of the Bands rematch. Sponsored by the Cullman County Fair. Live in the entertainment tent on Saturday, September 26th. In the meantime, tune into Live 95 on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear each band's music set from our event in May. We'll do one set a week leading up to the event. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Cullman's independent radio. Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Arrests in an armed robbery at the University of Alabama. Police say three men are charged with the holdup of a man on Devotee Drive. Investigators say the victim approached a man asking for directions. Then the suspect pulled a weapon and demanded the victim's wallet and phone. Jonathan Ferris, Jordan Barrett, and Josiah Nettles are charged with robbery. A Bessemer man facing charges for raping two girls and threatening to kill them. Demetrius Williams facing nine charges in total. No injuries reported following a massive fire that destroyed much of a condo complex in Orange Beach. The blaze erupted about 3 a.m. at the two-story Island Dunes condominiums. Authorities say 22 of the 34 units were gutted by the flames. Nearly a half dozen people had to be rescued. No injuries reported and no word yet on what caused the blaze. The condominium complex largely used by those who rent the space during vacation time. Only about six families live there year-round. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Grand jury now gets the case of a man who beat a Birmingham detective. Jannard Cunningham faces an attempted murder charge for sucker punching and pistol whipping the unidentified officer. In his preliminary hearing, the judge set his bond at $100,000. The attack occurred during a traffic stop in Roebuck last month. Cunningham, who has numerous prior convictions, including robbery and assault, told investigators the motive for his attack on the officer was due to tense relations between police and the public around the U.S. The detective, a six-year veteran, telling CNN he chose not to use force against the man who brutally beat him because he didn't want to be another headline. Marshall County authorities reporting a couple was found shot to death in their home. They're identified as Denny Oliver Tucker and Pamela Cords Tucker, found dead inside a house in the Asbury community. And University of Alabama system officials say a former congressman and an attorney have been chosen to serve in leadership positions. Former Congressman Joe Bonner to serve as the system's vice chancellor for economic development. Birmingham attorney Clay Reagan will work as vice chancellor for government affairs once the board of trustees approves his appointment. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, as the Alabama Crimson Tide gets ready for Saturday's showdown with Ole Miss, Coach Saban says the team's working to improve their quarterbacks. Reflecting on Jake Coker and Cooper Bateman's efforts against Middle Tennessee, Saban says they threw too many balls that could have been intercepted. Saban says there were a lot more plays that could have been made. Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Marcell Dareus breaks into an infectious smile, recounting the numerous reasons he has to be excited upon arriving at the team's headquarters today. A one-game suspension for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy ended. He's one of the league's highest-paid players. The former Alabama standout signed a six-year, $108 million contract extension last week. Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn rewarding Peyton Barber. He may have saved Auburn's season on Saturday in their near loss to Jacksonville State. Malzahn naming him as their starting running back. UAB potential football players meeting to talk about the Blazers' return to the field. Tryouts are set for next week. Coach Bill Clark has 1 year left on his current contract. He's declined to discuss current negotiations on a new contract. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Back with you, straight up and down, sideways, or whichever way you want to look at it. 5 o'clock, it's time. Everybody's headed home, so Let's talk a little football.
A little bit of football.
Ronnie, hey, we went to the break, and you were talking about the Alabama kicking situation. Now, get us straight on this.
Exactly. Again, not throwing off on the kid, because these are all kids, just like Jeremy Johnson. They're kids.
You know? Hey, doctor, I'll have what he's having, please.
You know, they're all still kids. However, we are talking Division One college football, supposedly the best football that's played, you know, in all of college. At this time, Alabama's kicker, Adam Griffith, is 0-for-4 kicking field goals. He was 0-for-1 from 20 to 29 yards. He is 0-for-1 from 30 to 39 yards. He's 0-for-2 from 40 to 49 yards. In two games, they have not kicked a field goal.
So his old percentage would be zero.
His percentage is zero. And I'm sorry, if that doesn't improve, there's going to be some L's. Certainly,
go to the
maybe
soccer
more.
Team Absolutely. Or somewhere and get a kicker.
Absolutely. You know, there's going to be games that Alabama is going to have field goals to win. And if they can't produce them, I mean, they're going down. There's no question.
Right. All right. The much-awaited call. Eddie is on the line. Eddie, welcome to Sports Talk Live, I guess.
Now, Ronnie, didn't you know that it was a great story on ESPN? That's what I keep hearing. Hey, I hear about your kicker. I don't give a crap where he's from. He needs to make a film.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care if it came over the ocean on a can.
I don't either. Let's sue the girl up and let her kick.
No, hey, that girl Jess, you made the first points ever.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. So, you know, they're 0-for-4.
I was living in Cincinnati, and I went in my office, turned the computer, said a lady kicked the first, scored the first points in college football. I'm like, who in the world would do that?
I don't know if that was
Hey, Eddie, let me tell you, right straight up, congratulations. Even though it was a loss, congratulations to Jacksonville State. They beat Auburn everywhere but the scoreboard, and that should make – it did make headlines everywhere. Jacksonville State known a lot of places now that they would have never been known. So.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I was in Virginia this weekend, and I had on a Jack State shirt, and you would be surprised how many people knew who we are.
Yeah.
Which is great for that program.
Unless, Ronnie, you know, next year LSU plays, maybe nobody's going to schedule us now.
Yeah, right. that's true. You know, 2 years ago we beat Ole Miss.
Yep, that's the problem. And, you know, one of my friends, his son threw that two-point conversion, which the problem is he never shuts up about it. So every time they show Cody on TV throwing it, they're throwing the touchdown pass, you have to hear about it for 6 months after.
That's exactly right. But you're right. You know, people may be a little bit more hesitant to want to play Jacksonville. I would be.
Well, the thing is, what people didn't realize, you know, and I know Auburn had a lot of people hurt, but, you know, Jacksonville State had their top defenses lineman out. I believe it was a linebacker out. We had people hurt as well.
Right, right.
But Eli has been there, and, you know, I've watched him since he was a freshman. And his first year, they had a kid from Minnesota who was about 6'3", you know, big kid, strong arm, started actually in the Big Ten a couple of games. Couldn't beat out Eli. Next year, they brought a kid in from Georgia. Couldn't beat out Eli. You know, the kid from Birmingham, he just fits, you know, that system that they have up there, and he does a good job. You know, besides taking that sack, he played a pretty darn good football.
I thought he played great.
Yeah. You know, and he's got great receivers because the thing was not cracking me up, but they were just out jumping and out physical.
Oh, no doubt about it.
So much more physical than Auburn's quarterback. Yeah.
They were more athletic.
They were.
Eddie, quick question. Ball on the 35-yard line, 39 seconds. You've got the headset, Jacksonville State. You're the head coach. Do you go for the win there? Do you let it ride?
Yeah, you have to, but it's just one of those things, Jason. I thought that game would last a good quarter and a half. So, you know, Coach Goff gets all the passes he needs from me for what he's done. You know, and I guess that's what I like about Jacksonville State. You'll see his wife posting the comment on my Facebook. I'll go see him. He called me by name. You know, that's the good thing about going to the university. Heck, at the spring game last year, I just walked out on the field. Nobody even saw me coming. I just walked through the gate. got on the sidelines, standing by Fanning, which is huge. That's a little bit of a hold on Fanning, don't you think, Ronnie?
Oh, just a little bit now.
I was up here, and I was like, well, you know, when the touchdown pass was done, I'm like, well, that's coming back, because two referees were standing there looking at it. And I said, well, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Hey, that evened it up for that targeting call that Auburn had a player ejected.
Come on, that targeting call.
That was terrible, Eddie.
They took that to the booth, Jason. They reviewed it.
I don't care if they took it to Washington. Eddie, he was in the process of making a tackle, and the quarterback slid down.
Excuse, there should have been targeting. If it was targeting, the official would have picked it up.
No. He was in the process.
Why didn't they overturn it then?
He was in the process of making the tackle, and the quarterback slid, took the Jeremy Johnson way out.
And why did they?
Because the officials are dumb. Hey, even Ronnie had to agree with that one.
The official up in that replay booth, but I'm just curious.
Eddie, listen to me a second. Even Ronnie, being the Alabama fan, had to agree that was a bad call.
I don't know why it wasn't overturned.
Well, I guess. It was. I thought it was close. I didn't. You know, I'm not gonna say it was a good call.
Right.
But all I know is it went to the replay booth, and it could not be overturned. And the two announcers on TV said they didn't think it would be overturned as well because it was that close.
Right. Hey, Eddie.
Patrick Patterson, whatever, he intercepted the ball against Alabama too a couple of years ago. Right. That was an INT they didn't call it.
Right. Hey, Eddie. I want to ask you a question now. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening in Baton Rouge Saturday?
I think Auburn steps it up.
Jason,
thank you, Eddie.
That Jason thinks they have a legitimate chance. Is that I'm going to put words in his mouth, but he You're thinks right. they've got a legitimate chance to beat LSU.
I'm curious for entertainment purposes only. How much did Jason pay you to say that?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Try it again.
That program is so embarrassed right now that they are, if they don't leave it on the field, I don't know, they'll fall apart. If they lose that game, they're going to fall apart. After going through being all over TV and dropping, how many, was it 14, 16, 18, 25?
They dropped 12 in one poll, and what was it, 8 or 9 in the other?
Yeah.
15 and 18.
15 and 18 to where they went to.
I mean, that's got to be, could you imagine being those kids down there? And I told you, Jason, Ronnie did too. You can't anoint that kid Cam, but you guys, none of you guys, every Auburn fan I talked to anointed him Cam.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was the real deal, Eddie. I mean, all I had to go by is his past. In high school, he was everybody in the nation recruiting him. He was 12 or 16 against Arkansas, lit up Western Carolina, which ain't saying anything, but he still completed the passes. And had seen nothing like what we've seen this year. It is a different person in that jersey.
Yeah, he didn't light up a subdivision school last Saturday. I know that.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he was good at throwing it to us.
And he may not ever light anybody up again. I don't know.
Hey,
yeah, I mean, but...
But, Eddie, you know, I still wouldn't start quarterbacks with Alabama.
There was only one Cam Newton. I hate to say that, but there was only one.
That's true. Right. He's a freak of nature.
That's right. Hey, Eddie, you know, I read something a while ago to Jason, and we went back through the history of Gus's quarterbacks and their ability to run the football. If Jeremy Johnson is on the pace to gain for an entire season 117 yards, wouldn't you think in the system that Gus runs, he's going to have to rethink how he's doing, what he's doing, because he's always had those dual threat quarterbacks and he doesn't have that with Jeremy Johnson now.
I know.
What does he do?
Do you remember? What would Jason Spiegel do right now if Nick Marshall was on that team, Ronnie?
Oh, my goodness.
I would be giving him a bear hug.
Didn't we not hit a time or two last year?
Eddie. I've already admitted that.
He was a magician with the football. I don't care. I like to give him a hard time. That guy, you didn't know what direction that football was going when it was in Nick Marshall.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This guy is so easy to read. And he's slow, and right now his confidence is completely shot because he was anointed the next Cam. He probably read his own press clippings.
Right.
He was like a Thurl Hill last year at Texas A&M, I guess.
Yeah.
But at least he'll play a couple of games.
Right. But what do they do? Because he doesn't run that read. Every defense knows he's not going to keep it.
He can't
read.
If
he does, he's going to gain 3 or 4 yards max.
Well, nobody thinks either about Auburn don't have that running back like they have either
exactly.
the last few years.
That's
you
right.
Know, Artis Payne and
Trey Mason.
Mason, yeah, you know, they were solid.
Right. And they're in the NFL now. That's
me Saturday.
Yeah, it, at one point when Auburn came and it was third and four, third and three, mm-hmm. it was automatic. When you had Marshall and Trey Mason, now if it's third and one, third and one, you're sweating.
I guess my question is, and this may not be anything that any of us can answer, is what does Auburn have to do to sustain or to have an identity on offense? Because right now they don't have one. I mean, I don't know.
See that picture post on Facebook of Gus's face? He looks so confused right now. He don't know what to do. I mean,
and Jason
looks like he's in another world. I don't think I'm like you, Ronnie. I don't think he knows how to coach this now.
But Jason and I was talking about. I thought he called a terrible game.
The last two, give him credit for that, but they have not played well either game.
No, they have not. So I don't know.
I can't figure them out. I really can't. I thought. Even at halftime, I still thought they'd come out and win by 21.
I did, too. I thought it would be over when it came back
and
out.
And with JSU sitting there with 307 left or 306 with the football, I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually going to happen.
All they needed was, they didn't get it.
Playing that stupid penalty didn't help either.
That's right. You know, but they needed a first down.
They made up for that targeting call. But,
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie, by the way, a message from one of your dear friends, Sheila said, I love Eddie to death, but when he comes on today, I've got to turn him off.
Hello?
Hello, Eddie.
Eddie?
Hello? I think we've lost him, Jay. bad cell connection, Eddie. Pay your bill.
You there? I lost you.
We're here, Eddie.
You were gone.
All right, let me tell you the message again. One of your dear friends, high school friends, said, I love Eddie to death, but when he comes on your show today, I'm going to have to turn it off. Can you guess who said that?
You know, I can't help it. She's had a crush on me for 50 years. And you know what? Here's how I look at it. If I was her, I would too. I can't argue that point with her. I mean, how can she not love me? You know, I don't blame her. You know, she's been trying to think about it, and poor old Wolf, her husband, sweet old guy, you know, not feeling well right now. And I'm sorry, Wolf. I love you too, buddy. I've never seen such a big crush as she's got. Watch out. I don't blame her. If I was her, I'd have a crush on me too.
Oh, so, man.
In fact, you've got a crush on you.
Hey, Eddie, what do you think about
the Bama bug will be rolling around Coleman?
Oh, I got you. Hey, what do you think about the Bama game? Not much to say?
You know, not much to say. They came out flat, didn't play well, but then I didn't get to watch. I watched a little bit of it last night because I actually had to work, but I was sitting there laughing because I had people posting the scores for me because I was traveling during the game. And, you know, they're sitting there, and I'm like, crap, are we down 30 or are we up 30? Like you couldn't really tell.
Right.
I'm playing us well. We're up by 22.
Hey, give us your prediction for this weekend. Auburn and Alabama, give us a score.
I think Auburn's going to lose by 7.
All right.
They're going to give you, 2 weeks ago, I almost got both of them right. I said Auburn win by 7, Alabama win. I think 35-10, they scored 8.
That's right.
I think it's going to be 28-21 LSU. And I am going to take 21-17 Bama.
All right.
That should be a good one.
Yeah, it should be. I may do a double header Saturday. I may go to JSU early, then drive to Tuscaloosa after that.
Oh, you'll have plenty of time. An 8:15 kick. You better get a nap before that one's over.
I know.
Oh man.
It's just sometimes, I'm like you, Jason, sometimes it's just easier to sit at the house.
I'm telling you.
3 or 4 hours traffic.
That's right.
Boy, if nothing else, Saturday made me so proud I didn't buy season tickets this year.
What are you talking about? You played a better team. We're ranked number one now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We lose you guys and we go up by.
There you go.
That's right. And we win and drop 8 places.
Because what do you guys think? I know, Jason, you're still picking Auburn. And are you picking LSU big early?
I'm picking LSU 31-13.
What about you still 26-23?
26-23 Ole Miss.
You know, I called you an idiot last year for picking him, so I'm not just going to worry.
No, exactly.
But what about you, Ronnie? What do you got?
I think LSU wins the ball game. I think it's close, maybe 17-14. And I think Bama wins, you know, oh, gosh, I don't know, 28-24, something like that.
I hope that revenge factor comes into play. I do too. Hope Nick's going to tape that dadgum goalpost through downtown Oxford
all
week long.
You know, if you're Alabama, if you've ever had a reason to get up to play Ole Miss, you got it now.
Absolutely. You know, in a major way. That's hard to believe. Worry more about Ole Miss than you do Auburn.
That's right.
You got more reason to worry.
That's right.
I'm just glad JSU's not on the Bama skid.
You better believe it.
I have to pull for JSU.
Eddie, like I said on Facebook, that's the exact reason you'll never see Alabama schedule an in-state team other than Auburn.
Yep, I know.
Like Ronnie said, you've got everything to lose and nothing to gain.
Terrible. And I disagree with it. But you're exactly right. That we have everything to win, nothing to lose, and buddy, you guys lost big time.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. No doubt. But what was funny is I'm talking to all my one guy actually played ball at JSU, and he was still pulling for Auburn. He played football. I said, are you awesome?
My goodness, wow.
And then I texted him. I said, what'd you do? And he goes, you'll be proud. I wore my Jackson State shirt pull for us. I was like, you're crazy. If JSU played Alabama, of course I'm pulling for JSU.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, so would I.
But it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy. Well, all right, guys, well, you guys have a good one. And Sheila, if you're listening, baby, I know you love me and I love you back.
All right.
Be safe, Eddie, on the road.
Thanks, Eddie.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right.
All right.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, time for a quick break.
That's our old buddy.
That's it. Oh, shit,
if anything,
heard that.
I will jump in and say, it makes you proud to be from the state of Alabama. Because,
right.
All them teams were.
Eddie wasn't that bad on you.
No, he wasn't bad.
I was a graduate of the University of South Alabama, which now has a football team, and they're showing up, too.
They played Nebraska this weekend, as a matter of fact. I saw a little of that.
This past weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This past weekend.
I was going to say, I better go back and look
at
my
You was out in the woods kicking your crop.
All right, we'll go to a break, come back with Nick Saban.
He's going to be with us.
Yeah. Just stay and listen. We'll be right back.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Here are a few things happening down at Wall Estate that we think you should be aware of. The Wall Estate Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org. If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wall Estate's ACT prep workshops. The English and Reading Sections workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wall Estate Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit wsccalumni.org. Congratulations to Wall Estate. This year, Wall Estate celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
.519, if you're on your way home, turn the radio up just a little bit. An interesting clip coming up from outside the lines of ESPN segment on Nick Saban. And Ronnie, I know you're going to enjoy this. I've heard
it halfway, I don't know anything about it.
So this will be the first time I've heard it all the way through. But really interesting, tells the story, Nick Saban. And
I'm surprised that you would want to play that.
Hey, I'm fair. That's more than I can say for some people, but I'm fair. I'm fair. I call it like I see it.
I got on Alabama's kicker. They're 0-4.
You found one thing bad, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
All right, Jay, if you'll take us to the clip, we'll be with this about 20 minutes, and then we'll be back to talk about it.
Nick Saban all business as he takes the tide out. They have launched 5 successful seasons with these neutral field openers against quality teams like Wisconsin.
Nick Saban is always, always a coach with a level of success and reward unmatched in his profession and expectations to match.
Alabama's lost 6 games in 4 seasons, and it's almost like the world is coming to an end.
Well, I think that's 6 too many.
A playoff loss, a turbulent offseason, and the man with the iron focus is hearing it.
I don't care how frustrated the fans are, I'm more frustrated.
And while fans wait and critics pounce, the most powerful coach in college sports cannot even contemplate the end of the road.
Now, I've been a part of the team since I was 9 years old. Scares me to death, all right, when I think about not being a part of a team.
Set, go!
Today, outside the lines, who is Nick Saban?
Fast release, let's go.
And now, reporting for Outside the Lines, Bob Lee.
He is the CEO of a football behemoth in the prime of a singular career, already memorialized with a statue. He's very much alive. But Nick Saban's legendary focus is on tomorrow afternoon's game with Middle Tennessee, the Tide favored by nearly 5 touchdowns, hoping to continue to sweep away the uncharacteristic offseason questions and scrutiny on Saban's dynastic program. This coach is an institution. An ESPN The Magazine confidential poll of college players finds Saban by a wide margin thought to be the best coach in the country, and by a slight margin also the last coach that players would want to play for. Logic can become warped by outside success. Witness the rising expectations heaped on Saban with each succeeding season. It is rare to witness life with Saban inside the crimson rope, but Paul Finebaum had rare access for this time in conversation and in the air with Bama's coach.
July 20th, 6 a.m. at the Tuscaloosa Regional Airport. And right on time, a car pulls up. Nick Saban is flying Bama Air this morning. Destination, ESPN. The trip will take 2 hours and 10 minutes. The in-flight movie, the Auburn Spring football game. In the early morning skies, Saban obsessively looks for an edge. No time for naps, newspapers, or nonchalant chatter. Saban has a football season to prepare for after an off season of turmoil and turbulence.
Am I disappointed in the situation? Absolutely.
I'm sure that everybody got the statement from yesterday on Jonathan Taylor.
First, there was the dismissal of Jonathan Taylor from the team over a domestic violence accusation.
He failed. We're sorry. Time to move on.
Then, during the SEC media days, Saban linked Alabama's crushing loss to Ohio State in the national semifinals to NFL draft distractions.
Our team chemistry from the SEC championship game to the playoff game was affected.
Afterwards, one of his former players, Plaxico Burress, tweeted, "Now Nick Saban players are being distracted by the NFL and chasing a dream. Ha ha, tell your story, Nick."
Did Saban try to shoot you?
Not yet.
Now, Saban's story is being told by Monty Burke, whose recent book signing in Birmingham had fans lined up, with the exception of one.
Chances of Nick coming to one of these signings? I'd say 0.0.
The unauthorized biography has Saban fuming.
One of these days, when I'm finished coaching in Alabama, I'll write an authorized book. Because, you know, there's really only one expert on my life. And guess who that is? Me.
To top it off, Alabama's number 3 ranking in the USA Today preseason coaches poll is the lowest in 6 years. Worse, perhaps Saban's biggest and bitterest coaching rival, Urban Meyer, has his team parked where Alabama is used to being, at number 1.
I don't care how frustrated the fans are, I'm more frustrated.
9:20 a.m. Oxford, Connecticut. Saban gets ready for the short ride to ESPN, where some of the SEC football coaches will be interviewed on this day. He's supposed to talk about the upcoming season, but...
Nick Saban joins us in studio here.
What's wrong with Alabama?
Nick Saban in studio with us.
It seems like folks are being more critical.
Were you hurt by those comments?
What an interesting offseason you had.
Coach, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
4:15 p.m. Saban jumps back on his charter to go home, free of reporters, except...
How do you think it went? Well, you know, I think it was fine. But I also understand, you know, that sometimes things get a little bit twisted around to where it seems that you said something that you really didn't say. But I appreciated the opportunity today to kind of clear the air.
Do you think there's a little bit of... There's an opportunity here to take a shot. I'm going to take it because, I mean, there hasn't been very much since you arrived at Alabama to criticize.
You know, but I think that, you know, when you don't have success, you know, you're going to get criticized.
But still, Alabama's lost 6 games in 4 seasons, and it's almost like the world is coming to an end.
Well, I think that's 6 too many.
I mean, I realize you can't be perfect, but do you ever say to yourself, I mean, what do I have to do? I mean, I've won 4 national championships. I've lost 6 games in 4 years. We won the SEC last year, and it's like Nick Saban in turmoil.
I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I certainly can't please everyone.
Among the critics, former NFL wide receiver Plaxico Burress, who ripped Saban on Twitter.
That really ruffled some feathers, especially the Alabama fans. It was irate. And I was laughing. I was like, yo, why are y'all mad at me?
Burress played for Nick Saban at Michigan State and said Saban ditched the team for LSU after promising he would stay with the Spartans.
He's a great coach, but how he handled that situation and as a coach to us players, It's something that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. We'll never forget it.
The truth and Nick Saban have been interesting fodder for his many detractors. In 2006, he was pressed about rumors he was leaving the Miami Dolphins for Alabama.
Then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach.
But the Dolphins passed on free agent Drew Brees and his ailing shoulder, and you know the rest.
Now, if we'd had Drew Brees, you know, I might still be in Miami.
Alabama wins!
Instead, Saban has spent the last 8 years in Alabama compiling a 91-17 record. The Tide has been ranked number one at some point in 7 consecutive seasons and has not been an underdog in a game since 2009, making him a state deity who just happens to hold summer camps.
All right, set, go! Step.
In early June, Outside the Lines attended his annual youth football camp in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul, get your coaching shirt on and get in here and coach these guys, man. I mean, mind her in a damn shirt and tie. You want to use my hat? Keep your head right?
Actually, it's Saban who does a lot of the coaching at his camp.
That's it. Step. Hands up. Keep your hands up.
Over 1,000 kids ranging from ages 8 to 14 attend.
We're trying to promote the game. Right? We want to teach the guys discipline, you know, making good choices and decisions.
Step.
And there lies one of the great contradictions about Saban. Critics say that as strict as he is about playing the game right,
this kid's rounding it off so he didn't really drop his weight and open his hip.
He has a blind spot toward troubled players, adamant about offering second chances despite blazing criticism. It caught up to him with defensive lineman Jonathan Taylor, who Saban had signed but then released following a domestic violence accusation at Alabama. Taylor had been dismissed by Georgia last year after a domestic violence arrest.
Do you feel like you made a mistake in offering Jonathan Taylor another chance here?
No, I'm not sorry for giving him an opportunity. I'm sorry for the way things worked out. I'm not apologizing for the opportunity that we gave him.
Some described your press conference afterwards as one of the lowest moments of your career at Alabama.
I don't feel that way at all, and I'm not sitting here trying to change anything in my press conference.
You know, when I say I'm not going to apologize for giving a guy an opportunity, that's what we do as coaches. All right. Now, you say it was one of the lowest things, but I've had about 50 families sit on the couch in my office saying, I really appreciate the way you took up for that guy.
One of those guys was Musin Muhammad, who in 1995 had a breakout season as a wide receiver at Michigan State. That wouldn't have happened if Saban didn't look past Muhammad's previous gun and drug arrest.
Why do you think he gave you a second chance?
I don't know why he gave me a second chance. I fit the profile of a very, very bad person. And, you know, what society tells us about, you know, young black males are getting in trouble. He made a judgment call. They're not always right judgment calls, right? But in my case, it was the right judgment call.
Muhammad went on to have a 14-year NFL career, twice going to the Pro Bowl. Today,
man, I definitely want to see a couple more locations in Charlotte. You know,
he has several business ventures and a number of charitable youth foundations in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Is there anything about Nick Saban that maybe the rest of us don't know that you know?
He's actually pretty soft.
Soft?
Yeah.
Nick Saban?
I think so. I think he's pretty soft.
The head football coach at Alabama, the same one we're talking about here.
Yeah. I think people mistake him for who he really is. I mean, he's a hard kind of guy, right? But I think Nick has a moral side to him that people really don't know or understand.
A benevolent image of Nick Saban clashes with his fierce reputation. But in truth, the child of a hard-nosed father from West Virginia does have a vulnerability about him.
You know, I've been a part of a team since I was 9 years old. Scares me to death, all right, when I think about not being a part of a team.
You'll be 64 years old in October. That's an age when most people are thinking about retirement. Do you have an age in mind that I'll coach to this?
One day I'm going to say I can't do this to the same standard that I've always tried to hold myself. And when that happens, I don't think I'll be very happy about being the coach.
A trip into Saban world and our guide, ESPN's Paul Finebaum, who joins us now. Paul, absolutely fascinating. What did he tell you about the number of national championships that he has?
He said, when I asked him, why don't you let up a little bit? You've won four national championships. Bob, he said, I think about the ones I didn't win. We had good enough teams to win eight. That's the genius of Nick Saban. That's the hard-driving aspect of Nick Saban, that he's not satisfied to only win four. No one's ever won more than six. That was Bear Bryant. He really believes he should have double that, and I think that's what drives him every day.
Two remarkable moments in that piece when he said he was happy to be here, looking like he was in an oral surgeon waiting room. And the other one, he was the most animated when he was describing the support he got from the families of kids he stood by, 50 families that have been on my couch, in reference to the Jonathan Taylor and the other people in his past. What is it about him and that need to reach out?
Well, there is that side of Nick Saban, Bob, that wants to help those who have gone down troubled paths. And I think that's really the issue that I've had and so many others have had with him. I said it was his lowest moment, and I asked him about that, and he got very upset. He reacted in a way that I don't think I've ever seen Nick Saban react. And we didn't show it all, obviously, in the piece, but, I mean, he really got very emotional, very passionate. He wants to do the right thing, I believe, but he also knows that there are recruits watching and families of recruits who have gone down different paths, so he's always appealing to them as well. Recruiting is what makes Nick Saban the best coach in college football. No one has recruited at the same level that he has perhaps ever in the game, so he's always thinking about that, even though he has taken enormous heat, and justifiably so, for what he did in the Taylor incident.
And recruiting means getting people to still to buy into your program, so
sure.
He doesn't want to talk about the end of the road, but as you pointed out, I mean, Halloween, he'll turned 64 years of age. The L question, legacy, does he spend any time thinking about it?
I think he believes that his legacy is not quite cemented, and I think he thinks about it all the time. Not until a couple of years ago, but once he won that fourth straight, he was on the verge, as you remember, of winning three straight, and that unbelievable play in 2013 at Auburn cost him a shot at maybe being at the top of Mount Rushmore. I really believed had he won it that year, he would have been on the same level as Bear Bryant, both, of course, at the same school. He's still driven by that, but he also knows that Urban Meyer is nipping at his heels, and I think that's what drives him even more right now.
Paul, stand by. There's a lot more to talk about. In your story today, we heard Nick Saban's opinion on unauthorized biographies. You had a quick glimpse of Monty Burke. His current work, Saban, The Making of a Coach, is an engrossing and well-reported look at the life and the man. Let's say good day to Monty, who joins us. You've got a number of fascinating things in your book. One is a quote from his former assistant coach, Mike Collins. You got to understand that with Nick, it's fourth and one every second of every hour of every day. Where does this focus that he has, Monty, where does it come from in his life?
I mean, I think originally probably comes from, as Paul referenced, his hard-nosed father back in, you know, the hills of West Virginia. But I think over the years, he's sort of evolved, and it's developed into, he's a guy who, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but he's a guy who loves the journey, who really truly loves the journey, and the destination he can kind of take or leave. And so I think he finds happiness. I mean, one of the revelatory things that I reported in this book, to me anyway, was that he is a really happy person, and he's particularly happy when he's deeply involved in the minutia of running a football program, when he's, you know, watching that 10th hour of recruiting tape, or, you know, when he's on the road recruiting or managing players or his coaches. I mean, that's where he finds happiness. So it is, yes, fourth down all the time.
But we don't see that happiness necessarily publicly. This essentially is a shy guy.
Shy. Many people describe him as shy and very introverted. And, you know, even the times that I met him, I'm sure Paul feels the same way. In a smaller setting, he's actually pretty warm and very charismatic, you know, which shouldn't actually be surprising. It's one of the reasons that he is one of the greatest recruiters that ever lived in college football. When he's in those living rooms with the recruits and with their families, I mean, he's completely different from the Nick Saban we see on television.
But, Paul, if you're going to be the CEO of a corporation, and Alabama football is a corporation, you've got to talk to the big room. You've got to make the big presentation. That's not necessarily his strength.
Yes, but Bob, I've seen him in many settings, and I know Monty has as well, and he's absolutely brilliant in front of a crowd. I mean, he leans heavily on sports psychologists. He tells great stories. But something that happened a couple of years ago really shocked me. I went up to him after, I think it was his second or third national championship at Alabama. I was at a function. I congratulated him. He said, "Yeah, that's great." He said, "But it cost me a week in recruiting." I mean, he really felt like he lost by winning that third national championship, because while he was coaching, everyone else was out recruiting, and it really irritated him.
What was the question, Monty, that provoked the to his wife, Terry? How are you going to spend the anniversary?
She said, just like every other anniversary, he'll be having a nice candlelit dinner with Julio Jones.
Monty, when you heard Musa Muhammad describe him as soft, as a guy with a soft core, what'd you think?
I think that's true. I mean, to a certain degree, I think he's a complex, pretty complicated man. I think he can be hard when he needs to be, but there's a real soft side to him. There's a real human side to him. You know, we forget this. We see these guys on TV. They become celebrities. We forget that they actually are human as well. And, you know, you see this throughout his whole career. Everywhere he's been, you know, from Toledo, Michigan State, LSU, Dolphins, Alabama, he's sort of the squeaky wheel with him always gets the most grease. To me, one of the most interesting, Muhammad was certainly interesting, that case, but also Ricky Williams at the Dolphins was a fascinating case. You can't, to me, there are no two guys who are more opposite than those two guys. And yet, Nick kind of took him under his wing and really helped him kind of get his career back on track.
As Paul referenced, though, Monty, there has been a lot of criticism over the Jonathan Taylor situation. What is it in his life experience that has led Saban to want to reach out for those second chances?
I think it goes back to where he grew up in this, you know, tiny coal mining town. You know, there were a lot. His best friend growing up, who became his best man at his wedding, was on welfare. And so I think he sees if you do help people, that people can actually turn it around. His father was his first coach, Pop Warner coach, who, you know, kind of started the team to get these kids kind of on the right track. So I think that's kind of just been with him all of his life.
Paul, you referenced your conversation, and we'll see more of it in coming weeks in another effort that we're putting together. But as far as the criticism, what effect has it had on him? Possibly changing his approach to such cases going forward?
I think it's taken a toll, but I think even now, Bob, he doesn't understand why so many people disagree and why people have criticized his decision on Jonathan Taylor. At the end of the day, Nick Saban cares about trying to help young men, and he does have a blind spot, and I think he's very concerned that people don't see that. But Nick Saban, as Monty said, is also very awkward socially. He doesn't relate that well in small conversations, but he does relate brilliantly to families. And when he referenced those families, that's where he gets his energy. That's where he gets his support. That's where he gets the adrenaline that makes him such a great coach.
And you referenced, Monty, the idea of the journey being the victory here for Nick. It's process at Alabama, and it has echoes of a guy he used to coach with and knows well, Bill Belichick. Do your job. The parallels are uncanny.
Absolutely. It is a day-to-day, step-to-step, you know, minute-to-minute kind of thing. It also has echoes, frankly, of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it is just focusing on the minute and not worrying, not being overwhelmed by the larger picture and the larger goal.
Paul, what's the reaction down there to this book?
It's quite negative, Bob, and it's negative because one man tried to kill the book in a press conference, and that one man was Nick Saban. I am told that his wife was outraged about one or two things in the book. I would love to discuss them, but it's a quote that he had, and he referenced Hillary Rodham Clinton in relation to having an affair. I'll let Bonnie give the quote if you like, and he heard that over and over again at breakfast, and he showed up and vented to the free world.
Yeah, well, we don't have time to get into it. Read the book if you have an interest. It covers a lot more than that. Paul Feinbaum, Monty Burke, gentlemen, thanks so much. Continue the conversation on our Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at Bob Lee.
All right.
Very interesting piece. I haven't heard that about Saban. Yeah. That was Outside the Lines?
Yeah, Outside the Lines, and there's actually another segment of it. I'm not sure it's the same interview, but another segment on Saban. You look it up online on ESPN.
That sounded like several interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a whole another 20-minute segment covering some other things. So interesting things that you don't hear every day about Saban.
Right.
And
he is unique.
Oh yeah,
you know. Whether you like him, whether you don't like him, or you don't have an opinion either way,
you've got
he's unique.
To be unique to be that successful.
You certainly do.
I mean, the average person not going to have the drive and not going to spend the time to do it.
Is there anybody more driven than Nick Saban? I don't think so.
And, you know, from hearing assistant coaches that have coached under him, they say he is all business, as you would expect to be that successful, but it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, football.
And, you know, a lot of that is just his personality type. Probably a lot of it is his upbringing. You know, his dad was probably the same, the same way. You know, he just learned from his dad, growing up in West Virginia. So, you know, I guess you would say he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right. And, Bunny, I think you and I would agree he's got a soft spot for people that has trouble passed if they fit the right bill.
Right.
Now, as we said before, he's not going to give a second chance to the 165-pound linebacker.
And we've talked about that before. And, you know, certainly I'm all for giving people, you know, we've all been given second chances. And,
and to me, it boils down to what the second chance is, what happened the first time.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, a lot of stuff you can look over, some you can't, and people differ on that.
That's right. But to give somebody a second chance, they're going to have to be able to do something that's going to help you too.
Right.
I mean, that's
that's just the
fact
of the world.
That's just the fact of the world. That doesn't matter whether it's you in your business or me in mine or Nick Saban coaching in Alabama or Gus Malzahn coaching at Auburn.
Right. And, you know, even in my business, there have been times we give people second chances. Some worked, some hadn't. And, you know, sometimes you look brilliant, and sometimes you look like the dumbest person on the face
of
the earth.
That's right. So. But, you know, I guess it's better to give people, you know, you give them an opportunity to fail.
Yeah.
And if they choose it, they choose it. And if they don't, then they're better off, you know, they're much better off for you giving them another opportunity.
I don't remember the name, but the one that they spoke of in that.
The Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor kid.
No, the other one that Saban gave a second chance when he was at Michigan State, and he went on to 14-year pro career,
Now he has
doing charity work, and so
worked out well for him.
Yeah, it happens.
Can't judge a book by its cover.
That's right.
All right, Jay, if you'll take us to a quick break, we'll come back and try to wrap up another day. And I didn't think this one would ever get over with, but it's going to.
You feel better now, don't you, Jesse? Yeah.
The number, 256-737-9505. Well, maybe we'll come back with a moolah clue. Haven't done moolah today, so we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live.
Hey Coleman, Live 95's first birthday bash back in April with our Battle of the Bands event was so successful, we've teamed up with the Coleman County Fair to do it again. Come join Live 95 and the Coleman Lions Club in the entertainment tent at the Coleman County Fair on Saturday, September 26th. As usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate. We don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Coleman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today and stay tuned for more information on the Live 95 Battle of the Bands rematch. Sponsored by the Coleman County Fair, live in the entertainment tent on Saturday, September 26th. In the meantime, tune into Live 95 on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear each band's music set from our event in May. We'll do one set a week leading up to the event. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career, how to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Montgomery police catch a man who went on a robbery spree. Donald Ryan rushing, accused of stealing at least one gun and ammunition from a store, then robbing a gas station less than 15 minutes later. While police investigated that second robbery, a third robbery was reported at a drugstore. A gun-wielding man spotted near several elementary schools, which were locked down as a precaution. No students were harmed. Police say they were concerned about Rushing's mental state. State police identify the woman killed in an accident with a logging truck in Talladega County as 34-year-old Kizzy Ballard of Ashland. Her car slamming into the rear of a Peterbilt log truck on Highway 77. The truck driver was not injured. A woman convicted of 24 counts of absentee ballot fraud in Dothan sentenced to 2 years in prison. 66-year-old Olivia Reynolds given a 5-year split sentence. She and three other women worked for the campaign for District 2 City Commissioner Amos Newsom in 2013. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A double murder in Blount County. Authorities say the body of a man and woman were found in a home in Locust Fork. The sheriff is not releasing how they were killed or their names, but he confirms both deaths are homicides. No word yet on suspects or a motive. In Cleburne County, Heflin cops uncover drugs and guns and more in a traffic stop. Cops say the driver admitted to marijuana possession and allowed officers to search the vehicle where they uncovered Xanax, pipes, and bongs. The driver and passenger face charges. At the Tuscaloosa Regional Airport today,
Tuscaloosa Fire, Police, and EMA and the public gathering for the Be Ready event. Tuscaloosa County EMA Director Rob Robertson says they've got equipment and demos for those participating and activities for the kids.
Well, it's just a great time to come out for a couple hours, get to know your community better, your first responders, your emergency managers, all these community agencies that respond when we have a disaster, and learn more about what they do and how they do it.
Participants getting help putting together disaster preparation kits. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In money news, with 23 locations in Alabama, Dunkin' Donuts is ready to grow its presence. The chain hosting an informal franchise seminar tonight in Birmingham at the Birmingham Business Alliance. The company says they're seeking potential owners. They want to increase stores in the Magic City by 50%. Dunkin' Donuts also looking to open 10 new stores, not only in Birmingham, but in Anniston, Cullman, Huntsville, Gadsden, Oxford, and Talladega. The chain has incentives available for Alabama stores, including reduced royalty fees for 3 years and up to $5,000 in local store marketing support. Port. Jefferson County Commission looking into the idea of a port authority to build transportation infrastructure. Officials say this could add hundreds of new jobs along the Black Warrior and Tom Bigby Rivers. Gas prices across Alabama down slightly today. AAA says the statewide average price of regular moved a fraction of a cent lower to remain in the ballpark of $1.98 a gallon. That's a drop of 4 cents in the past week. Fort McClellan has the cheapest posted price for fuel at $1.78. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
Money, money, money.
That's the sound of a cash register.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
There. The old timey cash
register. That's
registers.
It. It is time to play Where's Moolah, brought to you by People's Bank. People's Bank, generous enough to sponsor this segment. And, Ronnie, Moolah was brought back in.
That's right.
Last week.
Jessica
and,
found Moolah,
yeah,
didn't
Jessica
she?
Found Moolah, but the old cow got out again.
They just don't want to upgrade their fence.
No, we're going to have to fix the fence. We're going to keep Moolah in.
That's exactly right.
But, hey, People's Bank want to give out cash.
That's it.
All right. If you're looking for Moolah, you might. Let me think how I'm going to say this.
Now, this clue is in, are we telling?
Yeah.
Okay. The clue is hid in our mind somewhere in Cullman County.
Right.
So you know it's going to be in Cullman County. It's not physically hidden, it's mentally hidden.
Right. And if you're looking for Moolah, you might want to look in the sawdust.
All right.
If you're looking for
Moolah,
you might want to look in the sawdust. And stay with us. There'll be more clues upcoming. Moolah
That's
worth $50.
I was going to ask you, is it $50?
$50 unless you
I'm
want
not,
to double
no,
it.
I'm not doubling.
I'm going to ask it every time.
I have learned my lesson.
Ronnie, real quick, a team you were high on went low this weekend, the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Boy, did they not get shot out of
I'm
the saddle.
Not making the SEC with Auburn, Arkansas, the old ball coach at South Carolina.
Oh, boy. South Carolina's got problems,
yeah,
too.
They've got as bad a problem as Auburn's got, if not worse.
That's right. Kentucky Wildcats were 0-20 their last 20 SEC games and not win a game.
Whoa.
And their first win in 20 attempts was against South Carolina, at South Carolina. And they look pretty good.
You think this is it for Spurrier? Is he right off into the sunset?
I think if he's not riding off, they're getting the saddle and putting it on a horse.
Oh, yeah.
So I think his trip's going to be pretty short.
Yeah, the energy, I think, is gone. I think he's pretty much give it up.
Yeah.
He's just holding his position.
He had some years there where he peaked, you know, with South Carolina. You know, he won 11 games for 3 years in a row. But, you know, last year it was down, and this year it looks like it's down again. So, you know, you just wonder, you know, how much longer he wants to continue to do that and really how much longer South Carolina wants him to do it.
I hope he gets out and South Carolina don't force him.
I do, too. I'd like for him to go out.
The career he's had to be forced out.
Exactly. He's had a wonderful, great career. You know, he provides entertainment. You know, he's funny. And he's going to throw some jabs at you and those kind of things. But Nobody can question, you know, what Steve Spurrier's done with college football.
That's right.
But as you said there, you know, Arkansas, they bit the dust. They fell off of the cliff right there.
And went totally against what, from what I've heard, didn't watch the game, but from what I've read, they went totally against what their game is.
Yeah, I think they were just throwing the football around like it's out in the backyard. And that's I don't know what happened, but that is not the way they play. I mean, Brett, you know, Bealum is basically, we're just going to line up, and we're going to run it right at you, and we'll hip you up, and we're going to come back right back, and we're going to do it again. And then, but on top of that, to be, you know, running these chops against about Ohio State, and then he gets beat by Toledo, which happens to be in Ohio. Boy, you just...
Now, sometimes you need to worry about your own house
before
you start sweeping other floors.
That's right. Take care of your own backyard. So, boy, that was just a humiliating experience on several fronts for Arkansas right there.
And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I know. You have no...
Really hated for
him. You have no use, apparently. So, I still like Arkansas. I don't think there's any question they will they'll be back at a bowl game this year. They'll win at least six, and I think they'll win more than
that. You think after losing to Toledo, they're going to win six?
Yeah.
Texas Tech coming up this weekend.
They'll beat them.
You think they beat them? Mm-hmm. They're 11-point favorites. So.
Arkansas is. They'll win
Texas
that.
Texas A&M, probably a loss.
Probably.
Tennessee.
They're at two wins right now, right? Accounting the Texas Tech and the first game.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
Okay, two wins.
Tennessee, October the 3rd in Knoxville.
Well, you know, I think that could be a toss-up. You know, Tennessee got their feathers clipped, you know, by Oklahoma because
– Give a game away.
Boy, gave it away. So, I'm going to take Arkansas. That's three.
Alabama.
They won't win that
one. Arkansas will probably win that one. Auburn, at home, playing in Fayetteville.
I'm going to give them a win there.
Of course you would.
Four.
UT Martin.
Five.
Ole Miss.
Nope.
LSU.
Where?
Baton Rouge.
No.
Mississippi State.
No.
Missouri.
Yes.
I mean, where
that's
is that
six.
Going? That gets them there.
So. Now, I really thought, before we started this thing, I thought they would win eight games.
And we thought Auburn would win 9
that's right.
or 10.
So. That's exactly right.
And Auburn's going to be pushing it to win 9 or 10.
Yes, they are.
I think if you told Auburn fans right now, we'll give you 9 wins and call it a season, they'd be glad to take it.
Right now? Oh, absolutely. Right.
Hey, Jason?
Yes, sir.
They're still undefeated.
That's right. Still same record as Alabama.
That's right. Just a whole different feel, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Now, Auburn, again, Auburn's at LSU this weekend. I know we'll talk more about it on Thursday.
It's make or break.
When we've got, you know, Chris Andrews will be with us, and then Dan Vosta will be with us, and I know both of them will have things to say about the, you know, about the upcoming games here with Auburn and LSU and Alabama and Ole Miss. But Jason, looking a little bit forward, Auburn, LSU this week. Who do they have the next? Who do they have next week?
Mississippi State.
Is that home or away?
That's at home.
Okay.
San Jose State, and then a game that I said the first of the year would be a trap game, Kentucky.
That's at Kentucky on Thursday night. That'd be tough. But I would not – if they happen to go down this week, I think Mississippi State might get them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think this weekend is going to tell the tale of Auburn's season.
Even though they're sitting there at 2-0 and it's real early.
Right.
You know, it's still – this is extremely critical, I think, game for them. And
probably
for Gus, too.
Probably don't have to win it. But they've got to be competitive.
What if Auburn go? Let's just hypothetically say Auburn went 8-5 last year, and they go 8-5 this year. I'm just throwing that out. Do you start hearing rumblings?
Oh, yeah, you'll start feeling the heat starting to be dialed.
I think you're right.
So he'll probably get another year, and you get another 8-5. He might survive an 8-5 two this year and one more. But
yeah,
that'll be it. So,
who would have ever thought we'd even be talking about
Gus,
that?
Get on the bus.
Crank the bus and get it rolling.
All right. It's time to call it a day. Boy, this is going to be
time
tough
plus.
To say, but I'm going to leave
you
with a little week.
I'll leave you with a pretty good-sized roll tie.
All right. Be back with us Thursday, folks. We got a lot of guests coming in. Going to be a great show. So join us Thursday for more football talk, and we'll pick our games and just have a good time. More Moolah clues coming up.
That's right.
See you Thursday, Ronnie.
You too, Jason. Be safe.
All right. See you, folks.
for the sinner's feast. She comes ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I stand here on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, the bullet's right to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah. See it. Thank you. Gonna get it. Hey, and another one come, and another one come, another one bites the dust. Hey, gonna get you too.
From the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Together, but the storm outside and this fire's bright, oh, and in your eyes, I see what's on my mind. You got me wild, turned around inside, oh, and this desire, she is creeping up heavy inside here. I know you feel the same way as I do now. Let's make this an evening. We'll
we'll share some wine, and maybe we'll get high on